Remain standing with your King James Bible in your hand. Amen. Thank God for a Bible. Thank the Lord for the oracles of God that He has given for us. Thanking the Lord for it. Try to preach to you a little while tonight. God will help me. I don't have a great deal, I'm going to be quite honest with you. But I'm going to try to give you what little bit that I've been able to put together. Tonight you turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. Matthew's Gospel in chapter number 14. And I want to begin reading this evening out of verse number 22. Very familiar passage of Scripture to most of us. The Bible says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, Of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now may the Lord add his blessing to that portion of Scripture. Let's bow together and try to pray tonight and see if the Lord will help us. Our Father, we stand tonight in desperate need of the power and the presence of the Lord. And Father, I want to thank you for the morning hour, the good grace that you gave during that particular time. But Lord, we've come to the evening service, and there are still needy people that before me this evening. And I pray that you'll anoint these lips of clay to utter forth words of truth and righteousness and verity. I pray, Lord, that you'll fill me full of grace and great glory. I'd ask you, Lord, to endue me with the power of the Spirit of God. Fill me again for this occasion, I pray. And grant me the liberty that I need in this place tonight to preach the Word of God. I do pray that hearts will be transformed, people's lives will be changed. Some being saved, others being stirred and revived. And God help us, I pray tonight, to see our own sin and see ourselves as we are. But at the same time, help us to see the glories of Christ and the beauty of holiness. Help us to understand the power and the presence of God in the midst of the church and the purpose and work that you're involved in this hour. I pray now that you'll give us grace and divine help, for we stand in need of thee tonight, and you're a present help in trouble. And when we close the service, Lord, we'll be careful to lift our heart toward heaven and to praise you and thank you for what you've done. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and for his sake we pray. Amen and amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. I've preached several times lately, or not several times, but a few times at least, on the experiences that Simon Peter had with our Lord and the impressions that they had upon his life. And I want to reiterate that every experience that we have with our Lord should make some kind, or it will make some sort of a divine impression upon your life and upon mine as well. You cannot encounter the presence of God and leave the same way. Or you cannot be in His divine presence, ladies and gentlemen, without being changed in some sort or some fashion. And He is working that out in our lives for our good and His glory, to draw us closer unto Him and to prove Himself unto us that He is who He is and that He can do exactly what He says that He can do here in the Word of God. Now, here in our text tonight, we probably have one of Peter's most remembered experiences with the Lord. I really believe that. Peter experienced a number of things with the Lord. He saw the 5,000 fed, and he saw the widow's son at Nain raised from the dead. He saw many other things from the Word of God. He was there when Lazarus came up out of the grave. But in our text tonight, Peter finds himself in a strange situation. He finds himself out on the water of a troubled sea in the midst of the storm. And the Bible tells me that without the power and the presence of the Lord, that Peter would perish there in that sea. But in his trouble, Peter cries for help and realizes immediately that help is not just on the way, ladies and gentlemen, but help is divinely on the scene and ready to deliver Peter from his dilemma. When you imagine tonight, if you were in a situation where you were near to death, and the Lord delivered you out of that, and you knew that was the Lord that done that, that it would certainly make a divine impression upon your life that you would remember for the rest of your years. I'll assure you that those miners that came out of that cave alive a few weeks ago, or a few days ago, will always remember just how close they were to death. And I'm sure that they will always be thankful that by some providence of Almighty God that they made their way out. Now, I don't understand all things. Two men died in that cave, and the rest of them made their escape out of there. And I'll assure you, ladies and gentlemen, that those men that made a safe passage out of that mine will always remember how near they were to death. And yet, through the providence of God, God spared them and delivered them. And Peter will always remember, right on through the rest of his earthly days, that experience out on that sea when the waves were high and the winds were boisterous, and him beginning to sink, cried out in despair, and God in love and mercy extended a hand to him, an omnipotent hand of grace, and delivered him from all of his troubles on that day. And I'll guarantee you that made a lasting impression in the life of old Brother Peter. I'll assure you it did. Peter's greatest need, and ours likewise, and I want you to get a hold of this. Peter, I see him progressing. I see the Lord working out experiences in his life that is progressing him not only in grace, but in a little thing that we call faith. The greatest need that Peter had in his life, and the greatest one that you and I have today, is to learn to trust the Lord. I'm satisfied that there's numbers of Baptists today that really don't know how to trust the Lord. Amen and amen. We find ourselves in dilemmas, ladies and gentlemen, and about to sink in our troubles, in our
the midst of our calamity, and we cannot seem to find the grace in our heart to trust the Lord to deliver us in that time of need. But I want to say that the Lord hath delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and He will yet deliver us in our troubles. Thank be unto God. I'm telling you, the Lord is trying to teach Peter how to trust Him in a more divine and accurate way. Somebody say amen right there. Hallelujah. Faith is one Christian virtue. Now listen, I didn't get this out of a book. Faith is one Christian virtue that cannot lie dormant. It's not something that God gives us and it just lays there in a stagnant, dormant state. I'll say if your faith is not increasing, friend, you have got problems. If you're not living for God and experiencing Him in your life and allowing Him to teach you to trust Him more and more by increasing your faith more and more, then you have got a problem somewhere in your Christian life. Oh, yes. And I'll share one of those thoughts with you here in a minute. A faith, it cannot lie dormant. It is at the foundation of our Christian life. And it must always be exercised and increased. It must always be that way. I've wondered why we're where we are tonight. And I'm just being honest with you. There's been a number of times I've went away from the church and threw my hands up in despair and said, Lord, what is the use? Will You ever deliver us again, Lord? Will You ever bring us out of this deadness that we found ourselves in? And I'm going to tell you that I've come to the conclusion that we are where we are for one reason, ladies and gentlemen, and that is for the Lord to bear His mighty arm and to reveal His strength to us and bring and deliver us through this thing, that when we come out on the other side, our faith will be greater than what it's ever been before. The Lord don't start you out in big troubles. The Lord delivers you many times from shallow waters. And then He lets the waters get up around you, belly button a little bit. And then He'll deliver you from that, and your faith will say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God delivered me again. And the next time He won't stop the water at the belly button, He'll bring her up about chest high. And you'll think, well, and the Lord will bring you out of that. You'll say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He delivered me again. But now do you really think the Lord is going to stop there? Oh, no. The Lord intends to increase your faith and your confidence and your trust in Him. And He will lead you into waters, ladies and gentlemen. Or let me put it this way. He will put you in water that is over your head, that will make you cry out like Peter, Lord, help, Lord, save me. And when the Lord saves you out of that calamity, I'll guarantee you that faith, that little bit of faith, that mustard seed faith that God has given you will grow, and you'll be able to trust the Lord for greater things in your Christian life. Somebody say amen now. Hallelujah. Always must be exercised and increased. And the only way this can happen is to walk with Christ through greater trials, greater afflictions, and more difficult situations of life. That is absolutely right. Has anybody in here ever found themselves really in a situation you couldn't get yourself out of? Let me just talk to you a little while. I'll tell you, you'll never learn to trust God the way He wants you to until you find yourself in a situation that you personally cannot possibly get yourself out of. As long as we have the ability within ourselves to deliver ourselves, our faith will remain dormant and stagnant in the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have to see God work. Oh, Peter, hey, you think that didn't make an impression on him? Hallelujah. Yeah. To see himself maybe going down. I don't know how deep he was down in the water, but he cried, Lord, save me. Yeah. And to see the Lord divinely reach his hand of mercy down to old Peter and lift him out of that water, I'll guarantee you that made a lasting impression. upon that man's life. Sure it did. Such is the case here in Matthew 14. Peter and the other disciples found themselves in the midst of a storm that was threatening their very life. And may I say this, everybody get a hold of this. They were there in the divine, perfect will of God. Somebody said, oh, the Lord don't ever put us in situations like that. In verse number 22, the Lord said, get into the boat and go to the other side. Now I want to ask you something. Do you think that the great Creator, the great God, our Savior, the Lord Jesus, do you think that He is so ignorant, ladies and gentlemen, that He did not realize that storm was brewing before He ever sent them out there in that water? Sure He did. He sent them out there for a purpose. He was working a purpose in their life, and that was to develop their faith and to help them trust Him in perilous times in their life.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He knew that storm would be out there. They were there in the perfect will of God. Some of you in here tonight have got little problems in your life. And you're thinking, well, I've got to be out of the will of God. What makes you think so? Well, when we're in the perfect will of God, everything goes along smoothly. I've never found it that way in my life.
Amen.
I've found, as a matter of fact, most of the times I'm in the will of God, it's a pretty bumpy road.
Amen.
Pretty rough.
Amen,
baby. Somebody say amen anyway. I'm talking about in the perfect. They were there in the perfect will of God. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, I'm quite confident that our Lord probably sent the storm. Then I want to see what these boys is made out of. Somebody said, what if they had drowned? Didn't stand a chance. Wasn't possible. I'm going to tell you, wherever God, whatever God does in your life, in the perfect will of life, in the perfect will of God, mark it down, you will not drown, I guarantee you. Ladies and gentlemen, somehow He'll bring Himself along on side, and by the grace of God, He'll bring you out. Amen. Not a possibility of them going under. Many of you here have encountered difficulties in your life, and you probably thought, well, this couldn't have been the will of God. Something's happened. I'm in sin or something. That's not always the case. I can't find out where any of the disciples had sinned against the Lord. They were totally obedient to what the Lord had said. He said, get in a boat, go to the other side. And they did exactly that, crawled in that boat, began to row, and headed toward the other side of the lake. I can't find out where they were disobedient. There's nothing said about sin in their life. They were following the exact command of the Lord, and yet they found themselves in a tempestuous storm.
Amen.
One that they could not deliver themselves from. But oh, in the midst of their storm, here comes the Lord walking on the way. Hallelujah to God. Woo! That's right. Peg says when the waves are over your head, they're still under His feet.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Troubled in spirit. For fear they cry out. And He said, it is I. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Praise God, I'm telling you. Old brother Peter said, if it's you, Lord, bid me come unto thee on the water. And Jesus said one word, come. And old Peter got down out of the ship and began to walk on that water.
Amen.
Somebody said, why did he say, oh, ye of little faith. That's exactly why I went down. The Lord proved to him that his faith was not where it ought to be yet. And I'm telling you, some of you in here, your faith is not where God wants it to be yet.
Amen.
You can overcome by your faith.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Faith, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Amen.
Thank God, I'm telling you, faith and hope and charity, ladies and gentlemen. The greatest is charity, but at the foundation of hope and charity is a little five-letter word called faith that God's given you. And He wants to increase that faith. He wants you to have a faith that will hold up your hope. He wants you to have a faith that will hold up your charity that you can build them on. Amen. Ain't that right or not? Hallelujah. Come on in the house now. They found themselves in the midst of a storm threatening their own life. They were there in the perfect will of God. When Jesus sent them away in verse 22, He knew quite well. He was not so ignorant that He did not know that they would encounter that storm while crossing the sea. And I want you to get a hold of this. Crossing that sea is a picture of you and I crossing the sea of life. And I'm telling you, when you knelt at the altar and got on the boat, God said, go across the sea to the other side. But friend, on that crossing, there's going to be times that the winds are going to blow and the storms are going to rage and the waves are going to mount up higher than your little head and the boat that you're riding in. And the Lord will allow that to happen that He might build your faith and increase your faith and help you to trust in Him. Yeah. Hallelujah to God. Amen. If you can't trust Him in a little storm, how are you going to trust Him with your life? Amen. Come on now. How are you going to trust Him with your soul? Amen. How are you going to trust Him at death? If you can't trust Him in a little problem that you're having, how will you trust Him when it comes time for you to die, ladies and gentlemen? If you can't run with the horseman, footman, how are you going to run with a horseman? How are you going to fare out in the swelling of the Jordan? Come on in the house, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, hey, the Lord proved Peter's faith to Peter. He proved to Peter how much faith he had and how little faith he had because the words of our Lord was, oh, ye of little faith. Amen. Little faith. Now you get a hold of that. The Lord said, you've got a little bit of faith, and He walked on the water. How many times you've been out on her barefooted, ladies and gentlemen? I didn't say in it, I said on it. Anybody in here ever walked on the water? And all he had was a little faith. Shame on us. God help us. We can't believe God to do anything. Why, we've got a note to pay off. We can't even believe God to pay it off. We've got translators to put up. We ain't got enough faith to believe God to do that. Where is our faith? Where is our confidence? Where is our trust in the Lord? Amen. Some of you have got problems you've been a hassling and a wrestling and a haggling with for months and months and months and years, and you still ain't got over them. I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, where is your faith? To believe God. He said, be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't think I'd preach too much, but feeling pretty good now. And I ain't had three jiggers of that red wine like that fellow down there in Marion said that time either. That's what he said. He said, disciples, no wonder they were sleeping in the garden. He said, they're feeling pretty good that it had three jiggers of red wine. Now, I don't believe that for a minute. Amen. I don't believe they'd have any wine. Amen. The same Lord that said it's a sin to put wine in your neighbor's lips certainly ain't going to give it to his children. Amen. You can tell that crowd down there a bunch of wine bibbers I said that. We drink grape juice around here. Hallelujah. And we're not like that crowd up in, the New England States. We don't serve Pepsis and hamburgers either, buddy. It's the fruit of the vine and unleavened bread, and that's all. And it's not wine, bless your heart. Praise God, I drunk enough of that slop before I got saved. God delivered me from wine. Don't want no more wine. Hey, man, I'm going to tell you what I have. Got a little shot of new wine in me tonight, and I'm feeling pretty good on that. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, we done stirred somebody up. I hope we can't stir nobody up in here, man. We stirred somebody up out there. It was here now that Peter's faith was tested in a deeper way than ever before. From what we read later in Peter's life, I'll guarantee you this experience, truly, ladies and gentlemen, truly, this experience prepared him for greater things later on in his life. For notice what the Bible says in Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 and 32. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you, they may sift thee as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Yeah. Hey, wonder why. Look here. Come on in the house now. Yeah. wonder why the Lord didn't say, John, John, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I pray for thee, John, that thy faith fail not. It wasn't John's faith that was in question there, buddy. It was Peter's faith. Now, I'm going to tell you, had Peter never got out of that boat, and I know what some preachers have preached, and I don't know if I go along with all I've heard about it or not. I kind of believe he exercised a little bit of faith and a little bit of doubt when he got out of that boat. But I'm going to tell you, hey, he said, Satan hath desired to have you. Why, brother? Why, brother Hall? Because of the faith that that man had. I'm telling you, that experience in Matthew 14 prepared him for the sifting from the Satan. In Luke chapter number 22, somebody say amen. I'm telling you, walking on troubled waters is not nearly as terrifying as being turned loose in a cage with the devil. Down here, I've been in the cage with a roaring lion. Me neither, and don't want to. Anybody in here ever been turned loose in a cage of rattlesnakes? They just give me the shivers. I don't want to be around them. But I'm telling you, the devil is a roaring lion, and the devil is a serpent, ladies and gentlemen. Now I'm telling you, hey, that serpent and that lion was turned loose on old brother Peter. And if he'd have never learned to walk on that water, he'd have never held up under the intensified trouble that the devil brought upon him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. I hope I can help somebody tonight. God wants you to believe Him for greater things in your life. Some of you young people in here can believe God, trust God for greater things in your life. God wants to use you. You don't have to just sit on a pew and be a pew warmer all your life. Some of you girls in here that are single, you ought to have a desire to marry a preacher boy and serve God in the house of God. And some of you young boys ought to want to be preachers and deacons. And some of you others ought to want to be servants in the house of God. Amen. I don't say you ain't. You'll never make it until that faith grows a little bit.
Amen.
You get between a rock and a hard spot and watch the Lord bring you out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I wonder why Satan only desired to have Peter's faith. And I won't say this, and I won't be long, but I'll bring the message. I wonder what areas of life Peter's trust in the Lord was strengthened. I'm preaching on deeper impressions. We've talked about some impressions, but what about deeper impressions? Couldn't have been much deeper than that, walking on the water and sinking and being rescued by the hand of God. What did Peter have to trust? What did he have to trust to accomplish what he did there? I've got about three little things and we're out of here. I want to say, number one, he had to learn to trust the Lord's voice.
Amen.
Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? Well, it said in verse 26, when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out in fear. They saw him and were troubled. They saw him and were filled up with fear. But I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. But straightway Jesus spake unto them and said, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And hey, when they saw him, it brought fear. But when they heard him, it brought peace.
Amen.
Woo! Somebody say amen right there. I'm still glad. Hey, have you ever heard a still small voice ringing in your heart? Have you ever heard the voice of the Lord and can have confidence in the voice of God?
Yes.
I sat right over here last Saturday night, and we got that $3,000 challenge, 10 other $1,000, $1,000 challenges came in. And I sat down and sitting at that table trying to raise that money, and that little old woman called in and said she could sell her house. She'd give $1,000 on that challenge, but she couldn't promise it otherwise. Now, I laid that thing aside and laid it aside. Now, I'm telling you, we never got a call. Nothing. And I bowed one time, began to pray, and as sure as I'm sitting here, it wasn't in an audible voice. But I'm telling you, in the voice of the Lord, He said, you know why you hadn't got those other $1,000? You've not learned to trust me for that little old widow woman's money. If you learn to trust me for that widow woman's money, then I'll send in the rest of the money. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I raised up out of that prayer and told that little old woman to get her pencil sharpened. Amen. She's getting ready to have to sign some paper. Somebody say amen right there. Somebody said, what happened? I heard that still small voice of the Lord. And I trusted the voice, and God delivered us on Saturday night.
Amen.
Somebody say amen right there. Don't look at me so wolfish-eyed. Bless God, you know I'm telling it right. Some of you ain't never heard that still small voice in your heart. So I said, oh, I didn't believe the Lord. So what do you think the Holy Spirit does? Sure, He'll speak to your heart. We are led by the Spirit and we're led by the Scriptures, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe the Spirit will speak to your heart from time to time. They heard a voice. Hallelujah. They thought it was a spirit out there. But when they heard the voice, I believe old Brother Peter said, I've heard that voice before. Woo! Hallelujah! I've heard that voice before. Have you ever heard the voice of Jesus? I'll tell you, if you have, you've never heard a voice. So sweet and kind and tender. So gentle. And yet so powerful and so full of authority. When Jesus said, it is I, be not afraid, I'm telling you. It was love and it was kind and it was gentle. But I'll tell you, there was a ring of authority in what He said. Old Peter said, Lord, if it's You, bid me to get out of this boat and come to where You are on the water. And Jesus said, come on.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
Has anybody here heard His voice lately? And I said, preacher, you've been eating sauerkraut. I said, not audible voices. I ain't seen any 900-foot Jesuses yet either.
Amen.
Oh, Robert said he saw Jesus, said He was 900 feet tall. He didn't see Jesus.
Amen.
He's a whole lot bigger than that.
Amen.
I guarantee you. His head is in the heavenlies.
Amen.
Get this. My what? I'm going to show you how big God is. He said, the heavens is my throne and the earth is my footstool. That tells me that He's tall enough to reach all the way from heaven to earth. Hallelujah to God. I ought to say amen right there. It's a pretty big God. He can sit on a throne in heaven and plant His feet on the earth. We're worried and wondering what on earth. Now, what are we wringing our hands and worried and wondering how we're going to make it through? I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, get out on the water. God will help you bring you all through. Glory
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
Sure He will.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
They saw and were troubled, but they heard and they believed. Now, what did they hear? Come on in the house now. They heard the voice. But they heard a voice of cheer.
Amen.
Ain't that what it says?
Amen.
Be of good cheer.
Amen.
They heard a voice of cheer.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you? Hey. Peter said, I've heard that before. Cheer. The voice of cheer. There is a cheer, or there is cheer rather, when our sins are forgiven. In Matthew 9:2, there was a man that had the palsy, sick of the palsy. And Jesus spoke to him and said, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Can I remind you that Peter was right there when he heard Jesus say, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And now he hears him say, be of good cheer, it is I. Oh, he had heard that voice and heard that word before. Now, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're here tonight, I don't care what kind of a problem you're in. I don't care what kind of a calamity you're in, what kind of a storm, what kind of a trouble, where your problems, how deep they are, how high they might be. I'm here to tell you, if your sins are forgiven, you can have good cheer tonight. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
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 So you have cheer. There's cheer when our sins are forgiven. There's cheer. Get this now. There's cheer when society is overcome. John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that you might have peace in the world. You shall have tribulation, But be of good, there's that word again, be of good cheer. Old Brother Peter said, I've heard that word before. Be of good cheer, he's overcome the world. Now, do you know what the problem with some of y'all in here, you bunch of egg suckers, and amen, that's right. I'm going to tell you what some of you's problem is. You think that all there is to overcoming the world is dressing right, and looking right, and spitting white, and staying out of Hollywood, and off the dance floor, and throwing out booze, and throwing out your cigarettes, and buddy, you've overcome the world. But I'm telling you that the world is whooping some of you in here. Yes, sir, you've not overcome the world. The world is kicking your butt tonight, and you know it is.
Yes.
And I'm fixing to tell you how it's doing it. Some of you cannot get over how other people out there live. And they are determining your joy and your cheer. You don't have any cheer because you see how other folks out there are living.
Yeah.
Huh? Amen. I might as well clean your tater patches.
Yeah.
Amen. Some of y'all just giggled and laughed in here the other night when Chad talked about Pentecostals and General Baptists and how terrible they were and this and that, and you just laughed and giggled about it. And you know what your problem is? You know what your problem is? You still got a problem with that crowd out there. You've never overcome the world out there. Hey, forget about that crowd out there. I'm not concerned about, I'm not fighting Pentecostals. I'm not fighting General Baptists. I'm fighting the devil, the flesh, ladies and gentlemen, and the world, ladies and gentlemen, who I'm fighting. And some of you have never learned to get over that stuff. That's right. Come on, I said it. Bless God, and I'll say it right to your face. You have never learned to get over that stuff. You can't understand how some people get by with doing what they're doing. You can't get by with it. Hey, the world has got you by the seat of the britches, honey. You think you've overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the world. May I say this to you? I could say, I could care a flip less what the world does.
Amen. Amen.
They have their football games, basketball games. I don't give a flip. They can have their fun in their games. I've got cheer.
Amen.
Because my sins are gone and because He has overcome the world and Him overcoming the world has given me great peace. Some of you do not have peace concerning the problems that are going on in the world. Religiously speaking.
Amen.
I'm just going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, and you can like it, lump it, hump it, bump it, jump it, dump it, don't make a flip to me. But I'm telling you, when we can get stirred up on little old carnal-minded things and carry on, and yet we can come back to the house of God and your pastor can try to get you up in the clouds and get you above your problem and magnify grace and the beauty of holiness to you and the fact that you're going to heaven and you sit there like a knot on a log, you don't have much. You are weak in the faith to say the very best about you. You're weak in the faith. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I don't give a flip what the world out there is doing. Somebody said, can you got scripture for that? Jesus said in Psalm 2, let the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing.
Amen.
And I found out a long time ago that truth will always expose error, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Better believe it will.
I
preach to you the truth, it'll expose the error of that other crowd. If I rightly divide that Bible and rightly divide eternal salvation, it will expose those that are Armenian in their doctrine and believe in falling from grace. It'll expose them.
Amen.
Thank you. Charge you nothing for that. Good preaching, Brother Hall. Praise God.
Amen.
So there's cheer. When our sins are forgiven, there's cheer. When society is overcome, but I'm telling you, there's cheer when storms are conquered. He said, be of good cheer. It is I.
Amen.
Be not afraid. Be of good cheer.
Amen.
I've come out here, Peter, to conquer your little storm.
Amen.
Because when they got back in the boat, the winds laid down and the waves ceased.
Amen.
And they met where he was and worshiped him.
Yes.
Is anybody listening to me?
Yes.
Somebody said, "You sure are mean." Sure am. Might get meaner than that.
Praise.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Does anything stir us besides criticism? I won't charge you nothing for that. I'm telling you, a critical spirit gets nowhere with grace. I've learned that the hard way. I have been taken to the whipping post over that a number of times, ladies and gentlemen, and it will get you nowhere. I've stood right here in this pulpit and criticized you for your spirit and went home and took a genuine thumping for it. I'm honestly, if I was man enough, I'd like to kick some of you to see the britches. But that wouldn't help.
Amen.
I see, and I've got to say this, I meant to say it a while ago, but I see that Miss Kim must be trying to sweeten Mark up.
Amen.
He had a candy cane in his pocket this morning. He's got a candy cane in his pocket tonight.
Amen.
She trying to sweeten you up, Brother Mark? Amen. She'll make it one of these days. You'll get better.
Yeah.
Maybe she said, "I have prayed for thee, Brother Mark, that your sweet tooth gets satisfied," or something like that. Now listen carefully. Not only was it a voice of cheer, but it was a voice of courage. He said, "Be not afraid."
Yeah.
Be not afraid. Psalm 27:14, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord."
Yes.
Psalm 31:24, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in him." Now, I want to show you something. What kind of courage did Peter have? Now, I've heard preachers preach, you know, that he shouldn't never got out of the boat. But if they want to preach that, that's all right. What did I do? I had a puke. All right. Got a puker on us tonight. Amen. Everybody listen to me now. Courage to do what? I've heard preachers preach, Peter shouldn't have never got out of that boat. Well, I don't know. Maybe he shouldn't have got out of it. But I'm going to tell you what he done. He tried to do something that he had never done before.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to tell you, if you don't at least try to do something you've never done before, you will never accomplish anything. I would rather try and fail, ladies and gentlemen, than never have tried at all. That's right. Somebody says, "What if we go belly up on them translators and can't pay them and can't pay our bills?" So what? We tried.
Amen.
But I've got a feeling about the time we feel like we're going to go under.
Amen.
We might see Jesus come walking on the water. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, let's dare to go where no man's gone before.
Amen.
Amen. Let's try to do something we've never done before in our life. We can do it too.
Yeah.
If we'll let our faith grow in him.
Yeah.
At least he tried. You ever tried it?
Yeah.
Don't criticize him unless you've tried it. Don't criticize another man unless you've walked in his shoes.
Yeah.
Amen. Courage. Listen to this. Courage to walk where he had never walked before. Do you think Peter, I imagine when Peter's getting out of that ship, he was saying, "I ain't never walked on water." But I remember reading where it said, Enoch walked with God. So if Enoch walked with God on dry land, surely I can walk with God on a raging sea. Hallelujah to God. Now, I'm telling you, we can walk, ladies and gentlemen, where we've never walked before if we'll take heart and take courage. Amen.
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 Yeah.
Some of you ladies in here don't believe you can be a housewife and a mother. You can walk that on that water.
Amen.
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 Some of you in here believe there's things in your life you'll never get over. You can walk on that water.
Amen.
Yeah.
Some of you think, well, there's things I would like to accomplish, but I'll never get it done. You can walk on that water!
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I'm not trying to motivate you like Jack Hiles. I'm preaching to you the Bible. I'm going to tell you, when we started on the computers, how many years ago, brother? Was you here when we started them? We was already working computer when you got here, right? How many years you been here? 5. And we was on the computers and we'll say 6-7 years ago. We put them computers back there and started running the station computer. I'm going to tell you what. I was so apprehensive. I said, this ain't going to never work. We can't do this. I said, Lord, I don't know nothing about computers. How are we going to do this? But lo and behold, 6 or 7 years later, here we are, video streaming on the computer, shooting her all around the world. Somebody said, you didn't do it. I know that. I'm not so dumb. I don't know that. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord sent a couple of whiz boys in here that couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, because of that, we can all walk on the water. What we thought couldn't be done 6 years ago, we're doing now because God is helping us walk on the water. Praise God. Like that, and forgive me, this was before I got saved. That commercial years ago on TV about prunes, and that fella said, today the pits, tomorrow the wrinkles. You know, prunes are shriveled. That old ugly guy sat down there, and what they learned to do was take the seed out of that prune and not have any seeds in it. It's when they first come out, seedless prunes. And that old man sat there, and he'd say, today the pit, tomorrow the wrinkles. I don't believe they've ever got the wrinkles out of them prunes yet. But I'm going to say, hey, he tried, he made an attempt to do something that he had never done before. And he walked somewhere where he never walked before.
Yeah.
Praise God. And thirdly, courage. He had courage to worship like he had never worshiped before.
Yeah.
Can you imagine after him and the Lord got back in that boat, the Bible said they all fell down and worshiped him.
Yeah.
In a boat, in the sea.
Yeah.
After they had just been in a turmoil. Confused, troubled, afraid, full of fear. Now all of a sudden they're worshiping the Lord. Hey, I don't know that they'd ever worshiped Him like that ever before.
Yeah.
If some of you had a little courage, you could worship God in a new way.
Yeah.
When some of these young men in here, when some of these older men like myself or Brother Jerome, Brother Andy, Brother Doug, we get our hand up in the air and say, amen, amen. Some of you young men, it'd be all right to say, amen, amen.
Yeah, right.
When you see Brother Hall take a lap, some of you young men, be all right to take a lap, amen.
Amen.
Some of you young girls in here, today, nothing wrong. Let out a squeal.
Right. Yeah.
You can't do anything else, go, woo. I'm talking about some of these young girls. Like Mrs. Hall and Ann and Louise. I can't say that about Miss Ruth because she squealed before and Miss Kim squealed before. And yeah, once or twice, a little bit. Sharon squealed before. I ain't never heard Cheryl squeal. I've heard Miss Patty get pretty close to it. I've heard Miss Kelly. I don't believe I've ever heard her. What about some of you young? Yeah, you can learn to worship, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep.
A little courage. Oh, I'm afraid what people would think about me. I would give a flip what people think
Amen.
About me when it comes to worshiping God.
Amen.
Brother Brown told me, he said the first time he ever saw me was at Doug Thompson's in Fairfield, Texas. And it was so wild down there. I was laying on my back in the middle floor. He said I looked like a cockroach laying there with my legs kicking up and down. And he brought a missionary from down the valley with him that had never been in this part of the country or back east where people, you know, where it gets on. Brother Brown said, preacher, when we left there, said that missionary, we was driving down the highway, and he looked over at me and he said, Brother Brown, what was wrong with them men up there? You won't die. Hallelujah. And I won't say it was a voice of confidence. Peter said, Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. And he said, come.
Amen.
What confidence? Confidence to do. Faith to accomplish. What we've never done before. We can do it. Thirdly, and I'm closing. No, secondly. Not only was his faith increased in the Lord's voice, but in the Lord's vigilance. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? I'm talking about care, guardianship, and watchfulness. May I say that his care was imminent? That means it was close all the time. I read that from verse number 30. But verse 29. And he said, come. And when Peter come out of the boat, come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I'm talking about, hey, the Lord was at hand, ladies and gentlemen. Help was at hand. Care was at hand. Do you realize how close the divine care and watchfulness is that God has upon your life tonight? Let me just say a couple of things, let me mention this. His care was immediate. Peter said, help, Lord, I sink out immediately.
Amen.
Stretched out his hand. Now get a hold of this. Jesus cares for his people. He cared for you when you were dead. He cared for you when you were in darkness. And he cares for you when you're in danger. Ain't that right? And then I'm closing on this. His faith was increased in the Lord's volition. Somebody said, preacher, what do you mean? I'm talking about the Lord's will or willingness. Do you think the Lord would ever lead you anywhere and then let you sink? What an impression left in Peter's life. Peter remembered all his life. That when Jesus said, come, it had to be the will of God. Now, I don't care what other preachers have preached to you. I'm telling you, when Jesus said, come, it had to be the will of God.
Amen.
He don't lie.
Amen.
He don't lie. And he learned the will. He learned about God's will, his volition, his will. And God's willingness. When he said, Lord, help, Jesus didn't draw back immediately. Come on, get up, Peter. Because you're bigger than I am. His faith was increased in the will of God. I guarantee you, when Peter got to the other side of that lake, Brother George, he said, James, John, Bartholomew, I've come to one conclusion. If it's God's will to deliver me from what we just come through,
amen,
he will be willing to deliver me from all troubles.
Amen.
You get a hold of that? Deeper impressions. I personally believe that Peter was into the armpits.
Amen.
When he said, Lord, save me.
Amen.
And the Lord immediately rescued him. Oh, what a lesson. What an experience. What an impression. That left on Brother Peter's life. And again, I say that in his writings, I believe it's 6 or 7 times he uses the word faith. And by the way, wonder why he wrote in 1 Peter 1:7 that the trial of your faith being much more precious. Old Peter said, well, Satan sifted me. I thought the Lord was going to drown me. I thought Herod was going to cut my head off. But the trial of your faith, ladies and gentlemen, Peter said, is much more precious than gold.
Amen.
that perisheth, though it be tried with fire.
Seeing the end of your faith, even salvation of your souls.
Amen.
Seven times, I believe, he used the word faith in his writings. And he wrote that way because he learned to believe God.
Amen.
And learned to trust Him.
Amen.
In a dark hour in his life. Let's stand together.
Amen.